Good morning and welcome again to the broadcast. We're glad to have you listening today, and we appreciate so much your joining us so that we can open up the Bible and so that we can learn as much as we possibly can today from it. Now, we're going to be reading Luke 13, verses 1 through 5 today. We looked a little while at this passage yesterday, but it is so rich, it is so filled with so many lessons that we're going to have to take even more time just to begin to scratch the surface of this great passage of Scripture. So let's begin today, first of all, by reading Luke 13, verses 1 through 5. Here the Bible says, "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Now, the situation was this. There were some Jews there where Jesus was, and they gave him a report on what Pilate had done to these Galilean Jews. Evidently, these Galilean Jews were down in Jerusalem in the midst of, or in the process of, worshiping God. They were about to bring their offerings or their sacrifices, and the Bible says that Pilate had them killed. He evidently sent some of his men down there and had them executed right there before the temple. So these Jews tell Jesus about this, and they evidently want him to talk about it. They evidently want Jesus to give his opinion on this. Now, they might have been doing that for one of two reasons. First of all, they might have been trying to trap him. They might have been trying to get Jesus to say something bad against a Roman ruler, so that they could then run to that Roman ruler or run to a Roman official and say, "This man is against the government here. He is saying bad things against the Romans." And that would have gotten Jesus into premature trouble with the Roman government. Or it could have been the case that these Jews felt against these Romans in a way that was typical of these Jews. They didn't like them. And they certainly resented what Pilate did to these Galilean Jews. And so they wanted Jesus to voice that. They wanted Jesus to say something about what this evil ruler had done to their fellow Jews. But regardless of their motive, what we find, folks, is that this is the situation that they lay before Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus did not directly give any kind of judgment about what had happened. He simply posed this question in verse 2. "Do you think that these Jews, these Galileans, were worse than the other Galilean Jews because they suffered these things? In other words, do you think that God was punishing them for their sins?" He said the answer is no. "But unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And then he brings up this other account here in verse 4. He talks about an accident that had occurred. Now, this was the situation where the tower in Siloam fell and it killed 18 people. Now, Jesus said when that happened, do you think that they were sinners above all the rest of the men in Jerusalem because these things happened? In other words, do you think that God was punishing these 18 men? Do you think the reason that they died is because the hand of God was upon them and God was punishing them for their sins? Well, he answers the question. And he says the answer is no. But again, he says, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, I want to look at about five lessons that we learned from this section of Scripture this morning. Number one, we don't have to give our opinion on everything that we hear. Jesus didn't. They try to get him to comment on this event that they referred to here. They want him to say something about what Pilate had done, and Jesus will not bite. He will not take that bait. He will not get engaged in this because he's going to talk about something more important. That's the first lesson. we do not have to give our judgment about everything that we hear. Even if you're right, it may not be the best, and there may not be any need to talk about that situation. You know, folks, what oftentimes happens is that we get ourselves so involved in some kind of political dispute, some question of policy, or some personality, some figure that everybody's arguing about, and the media has a way of pulling us into these kinds of controversies. We get so wrapped up in those kinds of disputes that we forget the higher reasons or the higher questions that we ought to involve ourselves in and that we ought to lead other people to be interested in. So let's not get bogged down in everything that we hear, and let us not let people lead us into the controversies that tend to take us away from the most important concerns that we have in this life. As we talk with other people, let us do the same thing that Jesus did here. Let's take the conversation to a higher level. So that's the first lesson. Lesson number two. Not all suffering is God's direct punishment for sin. That's what we find in verse 2 and also in verse 4. Jesus gives two examples there, and he says that God was not punishing those people. These tragedies did not happen to these people because God was trying to punish them for their sins. Now, that does not mean that God does not act in this world to punish people at times. We know that he does. All throughout the Old Testament, we find that the hand of God, sometimes in this lifetime, brings punishment to people because of their sins. But you cannot say that God does that every time somebody is suffering. Sometimes suffering happens in this lifetime to people for reasons other than the punishment of God because of sin. So not all suffering is the result of sin. Number three. Some sin and some sinners are worse than others. That may be a surprise to some people because they've not read these verses of Scripture, but we find plainly in verses 2 and 3 that Jesus implies here that some sin and some sinners are above or worse than others. Now, let me give you a few other passages along this line. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, that he that will not provide for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, Paul says that a man who will not provide, he will not earn a living, make a living for his own family. He has denied the faith, first of all, that is the gospel, Christianity, the church, and also he is worse than an infidel. He's worse than an unbeliever. In John 19, verse 11, we have another example. And this is where Jesus told Pilate that the one who had delivered him to Pilate had the greater sin. So there are some sins that are greater, that is, they are more serious or worse than others. In 2 Chronicles 33, verse 9, we read about King Manasseh. And the Bible says, he caused the people of Judah to do worse than the heathen, worse than these Gentiles. So it is true that some sin and some sinners are worse than others. Number four, people are quick to talk about the sins of others, but they are slow to see their own sins. I want you to notice how Jesus dealt with this situation. These Jews tell Jesus this story because they want Jesus to talk about this old evil Roman ruler, Pilate. They want him to put Pilate down. Now, there may have been room for that. That may have been a legitimate thing, to say that Pilate was evil and to talk about his sin. But you know what Jesus did? Instead of talking about Pilate, he talked about the people that brought this to his attention. The Bible says in verse 3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And again in verse 5, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So Jesus goes directly to the heart of the matter. You see, folks, these Jews in Jesus' time needed to repent. They needed to get their hearts and their lives right in the sight of God. And it is a very common thing for a man that needs to get his own life right to talk about somebody else getting his life right. This is a very typical thing in human beings. When we're guilty of sin, We want to talk about somebody else. We want to take the Bible and apply it to somebody else. We want to talk about how bad others are and how that they shouldn't have done this or they should have done that. And that gets the discussion completely off of us. Now, that's what these Jews were doing. They wanted to talk about Pilate. Jesus said, I want to talk about you. They wanted to talk about Pilate's sin. Jesus said, I want to talk about your sin. I want to talk about your soul. And I want to talk about your future. Now, that takes courage, folks, but that's something that we need to do with individuals. If our own lives are right in the sight of God, if we're doing what's right, then we need to bring to the attention of other people their condition and their destiny. Number five, there is something that we must do to be saved. What is it? It is we must repent. In verse 3, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Is Jesus saying here that repentance is necessary for salvation? Is he saying that it is essential to being saved? Absolutely yes. You cannot be saved without repenting. And here's the important point to remember about this. Repenting is something that you must do. It means having a change of heart, a change of mind that results in a change of life. And again, it is absolutely necessary for salvation. That's what the Bible says here. Jesus said, except unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And it is a choice that we make. It is a decision on the part of each individual. So the Bible teaches that repentance is something that we do. Now, here's the point that I want you to notice. In John 3, verse 16, the Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. People look at that passage and say, well, all you have to do is believe. Well, this passage says that you must repent. And just because repentance is not specifically stated in John 3, verse 16, does not mean that you don't have to do it. Now, you see, that's what a lot of people do with baptism. They look at John 3, verse 16 and say, well, Jesus didn't say anything about baptism there, so that means that it's not necessary. That means you don't have to do it. Well, if you use that reasoning with repentance, then that means that you don't have to repent. Because repentance is not mentioned in John 3, 16. That doesn't mean you don't have to repent. It just means it's not specifically stated there. The Bible shows that we ought to take all of God's word into account, folks. And if the Bible says in Luke 13, verse 3 and 5, that repentance is absolutely necessary to salvation, then God does not have to bring it up every time he talks about salvation. And the same thing is true with baptism. Just because baptism is not mentioned in John 3, 16 or in Acts 16, 31, doesn't mean you don't have to do it. Because the Bible plainly says that baptism is for the remission of sins. In Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And there are other verses that show that baptism is necessary for salvation, but that one time is enough, and God does not have to repeat himself every time he brings up the matter of being saved. But I'm saying here that repentance is something that you do because there are many people today that preach and believe the idea that you don't have to do anything to be saved. And usually they're aiming that at baptism. Well, folks, that would apply to repentance. If you don't have to do anything to be saved, that would mean you don't have to repent. And also, that would even mean that you don't have to believe. Because believing is something that you do. It's a choice that you make. So we need to stay away from these statements like the statement, you don't have to do anything to be saved, because the Bible plainly teaches that you do in so many verses of Scripture. Well, I hope that you've learned something today, and I hope that this study has helped you, and we'll look forward to studying with you tomorrow at this same time. Thank you for tuning in, and have a wonderful rest of the day.